The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
January 8th, 2020, and this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 Network, or as we're going to rechristen it next week, the You Review Show, you popular television show on Netflix that half the table is obsessed with and the other half does not give a shit about. You be the judge. You be the judge.
I don't get it.
I don't like that show.
The show's called You, and we're going to review
it. I don't like that show because it goes against my principles. It goes against my religion.
What's your religion?
I'm a Christian, you shit. Oh, I am a white Christian man. A white Christian man.
What kind of Christian?
No one that's listening gets that.
It's literally funny. It's literally funny to the two of us at the table.
Right.
Oh, well, it's like if we
remember whitest kids you know. Oh. No, you don't. You probably don't.
Now the whitest kids I know are like Luke Justice and just a bunch of indie guys. It's Pro Wrestling Unscripted, Podzilla 1985, or as we're going to rechristen it next week, the Whitest Kids You Know Memorial Hour. My name is Shannon Young, Mr. 100. I'm your host tonight. With me, of course, the five-star man, Asa Gray.
All five.
Allie. A-Bear.
Hi.
I wonder why there was a pause there.
Huh.
That's
I
so
wonder.
Weird. And the big D, Dalton Anthony.
Shaq.
You add anything into that pause?
What's he going to add to that pause?
I don't like anything.
Well,
that's
like, let's
right
all
now.
Think about what he would add into that pause.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Let's not.
Son of a bitch, stay quiet for 3 seconds.
No, we're not going to. Give it up.
It has to be like a Japanese anime dub. There has to be constant noise. No one can stop talking for 5 seconds. All right, so tonight on the show, I agree with you. I saw what you wrote in the beginning. This is what Asa put. Was going to make a fun, lighthearted topic about the new WWE ice cream, but then CM Punk tweeted at The Miz. Let's
talk about that. I just saw the notes.
Let's start with that one.
Because, yeah, it's like, because even like the headline that I saw is like, 9 years later, WWE finally getting ice cream bars. Except they're not, because they're ice cream sandwiches, you cowards.
Not the same.
Not
you
the
cur.
Same. Let's bring back calling people Kerr. And so it's just like, oh, that's fun. That was the pipe bomb. CM Punk wanted his ice cream bars, like the Summer of Punk. He that was one of his demands.
He wanted it so bad.
And that was the running joke for so long, was just like, oh, the ice cream, anytime anything dairy related pops up, just like, ah, ice cream bars.
Hey, Punk, remember this?
And it would have been a fun little, hey, we finally got them. I was probably going to buy them and surprise you guys with them as like a taste test thing.
I mean, you still can.
And then I woke up this morning.
But unfortunately, it leads into a new segment we have on the show called the Derek Savage Dick of the Week. And unfortunately, that this week goes to CM Punk.
Now, wait a minute. Before we go into this, why is it called the Derek?
No, it's not. No. Oh, if they want to know, they have to pay $1 to patreon.com/prowrestling.
That's how you do it.
Patreon.com/podzilla1985.
Where you can hear us go so hard on an indie filmmaker, there's no way he's not going to sue us.
Well, Asa. Two of you.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, Asa also made comments about Derek Savage.
I don't think he did.
I don't think Asa Gray said anything. Allie Abear is really good at changing her voice. Asa, why is CM Punk the daddy Derek Dick of the Week?
I haven't seen every time that someone has shared the video that triggered this event, it's been deleted.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got to watch
so
it.
So have you not seen it?
No. From my understanding, last night on WWE Backstage, mm-hmm. it was Paige and The Miz was the special guest. After the show aired, they did like a video
like
on
a selfie tweet.
They did like a selfie video for Twitter or Instagram or something.
Yeah.
And he was just like, Miz was just like, say it's the best video, the best episode you've ever done. And they were all playing coy about it. And then he made a like reference about it not being like revolutionary or groundbreaking or something.
I can take this one because
I watched it too,
the video. So basically it was Miz says, well, we just wrapped up backstage. Mm-hmm. And Christian says, thankfully. And Miz is like, what do you mean, thankfully? I think this is one of the best episodes we've done. Name a better episode. Mm-hmm. And Renee Young kind of mentioned the Ember Moon episode, but it's the same episode Punk was on.
Mm-hmm.
And Miz goes, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't change the culture. My apologies.
Mm-hmm.
And then Punk retorted.
And it's also super important to note, before you get to what Punk said, that, like, Miz wasn't being shitty. It was more like a mocking tone where it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't change the culture.
It was
like,
joking.
It was a light, it was a 3 on a scale of 10, and then,
I wouldn't even say it was a 3.
Didn't even say his name.
No.
And then, yeah, CM Punk tweets out with, suck a blood money covered dick,
you fucking dork.
And just like,
holy shit.
That's like, you know, when you're a kid and like your uncle's in town, or like you're play fighting with your dad and everything's fun and lighthearted.
Yeah.
And just like, let's just say out of nowhere, your dad just full force roundhouse kicks you to the face, like through the screen door.
It would be if you were just punching him in the arm playfully and then he slugged you in the mouth.
Right. Like he broke teeth. Just like, why? What happened? It was someone on Reddit was like, if he wasn't straight edge, you would not be able to convince me this wasn't a drunk tweet.
That's what I said. That's what Dalton said earlier. I literally said that before you got here.
Like,
and I didn't even get the joke Dalton was making until just now. Like, oh, right, he's straight edge. I forgot about that. So he was stone cold sober. He was just drinking milk the whole night like the McPoyle brothers.
So someone else, it was Pepsi. So maybe he was too caffeinated. So someone pointed out, because like that, it blew up on Reddit because everybody was just like, yo, what the fuck, man?
Yeah,
like,
that's a little much.
What did Miz do?
Yeah, well, apparently, like, if you go back and watch his DVD that he says that he had 100% creative control over, he had The Miz on there. The Miz did nothing but praise him and say what an inspiration he was, how critical he was to like professional wrestling. And like, it just like, he looked up, he genuinely looked up to him. Smash cut two. CM Punk being like, I've never respected The Miz. I hate The Miz. It's bullshit. He was the main event of WrestleMania, and I wasn't. Like, just like, totally ripping on him. So it's like, so has CM Punk still hated The Miz for, like, 6 years now?
Oh, for something that wasn't The Miz's control?
Right. Or just in general, like, has he always just hated The Miz? And that's so weird, because, like, the amount of love and respect that The Miz clearly has for pro wrestling, you would almost think that would endear him to someone like Punk.
And that people Punk, have for The Miz.
Yeah, unless like Punk just saw him doing Real World as like a shortcut and not, you know, earning his spot or whatever. But like, that's a whole, that you can't try to get in the head of CM Punk because
right, and 15 years later with The Miz or whatever, I think he's earned his stripes at this point.
Right. Like, you know? even that run, like, he was the top heel.
Yeah.
Like, he was putting in work. Like, he won me over in that. Like,
same.
In his run where he eventually won the United States Championship. Like, I thought he was fun as Miz and Morrison, but I kind of assumed that, okay, Morrison's clearly going to be the star here.
He's the Shawn Michaels,
Morrison's
and Miz
gonna
is
be the
Marty
one who's a WWE champion.
Right.
And all of that, but.
Which he was, to be fair.
Morrison?
He was WWE champion, was he? Or was
no,
it just ECW?
He was ECW champion.
Okay, ECW, my bad. But back to the matter at hand, like, it's important to note that they deleted the tweet about the clip.
All of the tweets have been, like,
all the tweets are gone.
Yeah, it has been.
Which is, as Dalton also said earlier, very uncharacteristic of Punk to say something and then go back on it. And it begs the question of why.
I don't think it's him backing up on it. I just think it's, he knows that, like, that's, telling someone to suck a dick is kind of like, you can take that as that homophobic slant.
But then to add
and
the blood
tries,
money part.
Yeah, but also the blood money part is real bad because I'm sure maybe Fox maybe not is, that might have been like a Fox call.
That's exactly what I was thinking, is that Fox probably got a hold of him, or he realized and said, this is going to look real bad.
Yeah, this was a bad idea.
Spoiler alert, already looks
but
real bad.
Does this, all right, so I'm going to say it, and you tell me if I'm wrong. All of this makes CM Punk look terrible.
I mean, yeah, this
yeah.
is not,
this
is, this
is bad.
Yeah, because he's always kind of had that reputation of being really like,
He's a dick. That's his reputation.
Yeah.
He's one of those, I will speak my mind, even if it's not always, it's usually articulate, but it might be vulgar.
Yeah.
Allie, and we know, as you know, as I know, that people that speak their mind without a filter are the best people.
Who do we
know?
Sorry,
but I'm just honest.
Wait, who is that?
Everyone who says that they don't care what other people think about
them.
I'm
going to tell you what I think about you.
I'm cursed with being honest.
Daddy dicks.
The way she said it is just so.
I know the delivery of it is what's like it's oddly specific.
Heel Allie is the best Allie.
Gets me angry because it's always after someone says something entirely pointless. Like you just insulted someone for no reason.
Sorry, I'm just honest.
What are you cursed with?
Honesty. I'm just blunt.
I just got to tell it how it is. We have found the thing that really gets under Allie's skin.
Oh my God, I hate
her
it.
Delivery is like so shitty. Because
she's so genuinely angry about it.
There's a great Simpsons quote about that where Homer decides, he tries to follow in Krusty's footsteps. Krusty started doing stand-up again, mm-hmm. and he tells it like it is. So Homer's like, I'm going to start telling it like it is. And he starts making fun of like his kids and tells Marge, you can stand and lose a couple pounds. Sorry, I just tell it like it is. And Marge says, oh, shut up, Homer. You're the fattest person here. And he just goes, you don't have to tell it like it is, Marge.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, CM Punk, why, baby? Because...
Because it's a bummer to see, because, yeah, it's like, it's
we knew he wasn't going
to
back
see.
To WWE, but he's working with him, and it seemed like a good relationship. He looks like he's having fun.
Well, and also, like, remember that all those times he told Seth Rollins to delete his Twitter?
Yeah.
And, like, just be like, hey, quit typing. Like, it was true then, and it's just, like, it kind of applies here as well, but...
I will say it was funny that he called him a fucking dork at the end of it.
See, and that's
that was the best
that
part.
That seems almost playful.
Yeah,
but he's also, he's referred to, like, not cool people like that on Twitter.
As dork?
Yeah, so it's like, all right, not as, because, like, when you see it, when you see someone that we would say something like that, but they use it, like, earnestly,
yeah.
It's just like, okay, well, that takes some of the fun out of it. Because, yeah, calling someone a dork is fun, but...
How do you think Miz felt? He just woke up this morning and looked at his phone and went, oh.
Still?
Oh.
He probably had the same reaction that a lot of us have had.
Then
he rolled over and looked at Maurice and he was like, you know, life's not that bad.
You know, yeah.
His beautiful family, his millions of dollars. We should all feel bad for the Miz right now.
That fucking dork.
Getting cyberbullied.
I mean, I do kind of feel bad for him because, like, he did not deserve that.
Oh, no, yeah.
Unless he's done something that we don't know about. Like, if he did something so egregious to CM Punk and no one knows.
Like he called him a fart knocker like last night via
text
or something.
Every single day since the pipe bomb, since CM Punk walked out, The Miz has been texting CM Punk the most graphic, horrible things from different burner phones. Just like every number that Punk blocks, six more pop up.
Yeah.
He's just Hydra and just really demeaning, terrible, degrading things.
Hey, but no one knows and no one will believe him.
Yeah, no one would believe. Because Miz always seems like such a nice guy.
He's such
guy.
A nice dude.
Yeah.
He just sends Punk clips over and over again of Punk getting beat in UFC. Like, remember this? You were so tough.
Yeah, or just like, hey, how's your Z? So he just keeps sending him Z packs in the mail. Like, it's because it's a bummer.
He sends him Coke.
Oh, God. A finest aged whiskey, just to really. But again, we don't know it. No one knows it except for Punk, and he finally had enough. That one super minor throwaway jokey line was enough to finally set him off.
Yeah, it just seems like such a insignificant thing to set off such a angry response. Because it wasn't even one of like Punk's paragraph style, I'm going to
destroy you and
right.
This is how.
It was just a one-off line, but so vicious.
Someone posted him just ripping Teddy Hart to shreds from like a decade and a half ago.
Oh, those two hate each other.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and there's one person on the right side of history there.
Yeah. Is it Punk?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I remember that story.
So my question to you guys, do you think we see CM Punk on backstage again?
Yes.
Yeah. I think they'll mend fences, but I think this is a big strike.
Fox is like, we paid so much money for this guy.
Follow up question. Do they address it?
Nope.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Because there was part
even
of
not even unofficially, even him just saying something along the lines.
And
of
that's what I'm saying.
I need to put my phone like I've learned to put my phone down, or maybe I shouldn't watch these episodes, like something like that.
I think the most you might get is Punk's making a one off joke about The Miz, mm-hmm. and everyone kind of going like, "Oh, Punk, please don't," like make him a little nervous. But I don't think they'll ever address it, and they shouldn't address it. Like if you want it to go away, let it go away. In the same way that they did it with, see, I mean, if they did it for Lars Sullivan when he made those comments, mm-hmm. let Punk have this one very stupid thing he said. Because when he said suck a dick, I don't think he meant it homophobically. Mm-hmm. Like, clearly, I don't think he's homophobic.
I think the blood money covered dick part is the blood money.
It's
is the
blood money that
I think
really.
That's the, yeah. It, at the risk of sounding homophobic towards it, like, he also mentioned Saudi Arabia blood money.
If he had left it at just, oh, suck a dick, you fucking dork, I think everybody would have been like, oh, that's kind of a lame joke, dude.
Like, you're better than that.
But the blood money part is where it was like,
yeah, that's the
okay,
extra,
that's just a clear shot at WWE.
That's an extra twist. Also, considering the fact, do you know who wasn't at the last Saudi Arabia show?
The Miz. Who?
The Miz. I mean, granted, yeah, he was at the first two probably, but like, he wasn't. He was at least not at this last one.
Do you think
and,
it's cheap having like eight kids and a wife like Maurice, she actually, I've read about this. You know what she eats for breakfast? Diamonds. So you have to make that money. Bad look on Punk's part, and I'm curious to see what this goes. I wouldn't be surprised if they let him go, but I agree with Dalton. It's going to be one of those.
Because it's also going to, like, you know, as soon as they announce, hey, CM Punk coming to backstage.
Ratings pop. Right,
yeah, what's going to happen?
Actually, now that you say that, it makes me think that Fox is like, hey, be shitty. And then he did it. Like they said, hey, Punk, like, shoot on him.
Go hard.
And then didn't realize that they told CM Punk to do that.
He opened up his email. He saw it was the Twitter account from WWE on Fox of just like, hey, man. Cause a stir, and he just started laughing.
He was like, okay.
He closed his eyes. He didn't even think of the words. They just came through his fingertips onto the keyboard.
He didn't have to type them. They just started pressing themselves. That was the power of straight edginess. I don't know. It was too much. It was scorched earth for no reason. And do you think he should be let go? Not a do you think he will, but do you think this is a fireable offense? Because I think this is the clearest indicator of whether or not he is actually working with WWE. Because there was no way in hell WWE would allow one of their guys to say, suck a, was it blood money covered dick?
Yeah.
That is too far, Coco. You need to back up.
Turns out that the WrestleMania match wasn't going to be CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. Plans have changed. Now it's Miz, and they had a hard autocorrect. Or they had a hard redirect.
They're really I'm an idiot. Really diving into like the Attitude Era mature stuff.
Yeah,
they're like, can you give us some Attitude Era? They talked about dicks back then, right? They had the whole suck it thing. I could top that.
I think
put some blood money on it.
I think that Fox would be within their right to like not have him back, but it's one of those I don't think I would be surprised either way. Like if they ever make a statement or even if they just never have him back on.
Do you think WWE would pressure them and say like, hey, we don't want this guy working with our program anymore. And do you think Fox would go, okay, that's reasonable?
We've seen WWE distance people for less.
Yeah. And this is Punk who already kind of had, like, it's not like they have a great relationship.
You had to think that there was probably, they were already kind of on thin ice.
And I wish I could get in the side of the head of CM Punk and figure out why he went so hard on such an innocent joke.
Yeah, like,
and we'll never know.
No.
Oh, man. We'll keep you updated. I actually went to some of the websites to see if he's been fired yet. And
yeah, nothing's been announced yet.
I'm
waiting to see if he's, I'm honestly waiting for some sort of statement. Like, and of just
anybody
acknowledging the fact that, you know, he said something dumb or, you know, went too hard or anything like that. But
he called him a dork.
A fucking dork.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we would like to take you to another I can't believe that actually happened. This time on Raw, you heard about this story, right? With the actor playing the wedding official. Have you not heard this story?
I don't think so.
Ace, tell me you've heard this story.
Yeah, it's real dumb.
And it gets dumber. Okay, so you know the guy that did he was the official that was doing the wedding last week?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was after, what segment was it after?
It was the AJ Styles match.
So they're walking back to the ramp, right? And you see in the background a guy get tackled in the ring. Everyone assumed it was a fan, right?
It looks like someone runs into the ring, like jumps up onto the apron and just kind of rolls under the top rope. But he's in like a suit. And then two other people in suits rush the guy and like hold him down.
Yeah.
And you only see this in the background of AJ Styles is walking up the ramp. And
right.
And it's just kind of in the background. It then cuts to the hard cam of the ring of that happening. And then a side camera. And then all of a sudden the camera just kind of moves to the side and rotates to the crowd.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, did a fan rush the ring? What happened?
Because that's pretty much what it looked like.
Yeah, it looked like.
Well, here's where it gets weird. It was the official from the wedding segment.
The week before?
The security didn't
know. And also this week.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Security didn't know he was getting in the ring, so they tackled him. And
oh, was it that one old bitch that just does not give any shits? Because I love her.
No, I think it was two.
No,
dudes.
No, yeah, it was two guys.
Because we all know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, the lady who got in Gronk's face.
And then the lady that it was the same lady that kicked out Enzo.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that's my champion of the decade.
No, these were two rando security guards. They tackled the guy, and then someone else had to.
Well, he was already on the ground.
Yeah, because he had dived in.
Yeah,
and then someone had to explain to them, no, he's part of the segment.
He just. Got in the ring such a weird way.
Yeah, so then they did an interview with the guy, the actor. I forget his name. But he said that it was such a rush. They were like, you have to get to the ring. Mm-hmm. So he dove in. and the security tackled him, right? Mm-hmm. So you would think, well, that's stupid. Who didn't tell them that was going to happen? Here's where it gets weirder.
Wait, time. I can't dive into the ring anyway.
He didn't die. No, it's what he did is he like
rolled in. Yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it wasn't some graceful maneuver.
This wasn't Will Ospreay type shit.
Oh, okay.
No.
I was about to say, it's like, God damn, that's cool.
Think more like Hunter Hendricks trying to get in the CCW ring the first time.
I wasn't there for that, but now Hunter's pissy.
When he
Hunter will laugh about it, I hope.
It's what it is it's so he was running. He like tried to do like the referee dive when they slide in.
Okay.
But he didn't. He kind of stopped because I never understood how those physics work to begin with.
Nope.
And so he just kind of stopped, and then he just rolled like twice.
And then they tackled his
ass. Just like, you know, barrel rolled.
So here's the funny part,
though. There wasn't graceful. He wasn't. Okay. He didn't do it athletically. He was just running.
Y'all remember the one time I tried doing that in a ring, and I slid on a piece of table and just completely chested the side of the ring?
I do.
Yeah, that sucked.
In fairness of Hunter, who did try to get in the ring really cool, me just trying to get in the ring normal, it took me like 3 shows to get it right. It's not easy to get in the ring.
So I'm glad I don't do in-ring interviews.
I twisted my ankle one time.
Because when I had to do that ring announcing the one time, it was a concerted effort. I didn't hear anything else around me of just like, go over, okay, foot is clear, let's go up in again.
But, well, great, now I have a match this week and it's a tag match. I'm only going to be thinking about that now.
I'm going to text you 3 times during the day.
the story gets weirder.
Yeah.
In case you didn't think it could get weirder. So all reports are now saying that was not an accident. That was the planned segment.
Oh, well.
Which
they wanted
the question,
to do some random ass what
right the like what the fuck was the point of that? You didn't why that what did that add to the segment at all?
Remember when
that
we
was
were
so pointless?
Remember when we were optimistic that 2020 was going to be better?
Remember when Heyman took over Raw and everybody was like, okay, and then Bischoff took off of SmackDown? We're like, all right, cool. But then Bischoff was gone in a week,
and then they fired Bischoff in 83 days. Yeah, because that's the new shirt.
But then Heyman is still there, maybe. Because he put Liv Morgan on the show. He was like, well, I like Liv so much, let's add her to the storyline. Which, you know what she did on Raw? She literally showed up and said, I'm going to be in Rusev's corner next week. And that was it. There's your big return for Liv Morgan, by the way. Cheering on Rusev in a corner.
Also, to go back to something we were talking about last week, when Dalton mentioned the Dallas Buyers Club and Matthew McConaughey and with the character with AIDS.
All right.
The big difference, though, that I realized, of course, like way too late to not actually make a valid point on the show, is that Matthew McConaughey then didn't go on Twitter and try to convince people that he actually did have AIDS.
Yeah, that's fair.
I thought of that. Like, it's like,
well, does that help my cause?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the segment's bad and we should feel bad.
And now they've done like nothing with it, unless we'll see what they do next week.
Yeah, because why? If Rusev's so happy for them being together and doesn't care, why is he coming out and fucking with them?
He's not happy. He's mad at Lashley.
Hasn't he always been saying that, like, I don't want her, you can have her, but it's like, but I'm gonna keep fighting you.
It's been,
well, have you seen,
well,
Lashley? He has a punchable face.
Let it go, especially now if you've got Liv Morgan. Except you don't, because she's lesbian. But is she? But also, they didn't mention it this week, but she'll be there next week. Will they play up on it? Probably not.
Because Lana's going to be in Lashley's corner for their match, so...
Again, the best ending for this, I think it would be funny, is if Lashley and Rusev become friends because Lana's crazy and neither of them want her.
Mm-hmm. Punk idea.
Yeah, and she goes back to Liv Morgan, and then
happy together.
Well, Liv Morgan, except it turns out Liv Morgan's not happy because now that she's actually with her, you could have segments where Lana's like making her buy all this stuff. Liv Morgan could be the miserable boyfriend, basically.
Charlie wants the waitress, actually.
Right. Of just like boredom and like, oh my, she could be like, oh my God, I see why nobody likes you, and just walks off.
Wait, whose memory are we in right now?
I don't remember that episode very well.
Oh, it was a good one.
It was a good one.
I thought it was fun.
Anyway, moving on. Poor Liv Morgan. Jesus Christ. She's, oh my, I don't want
treated
to talk about
so that. A blonde treated so poorly, Mandy Rose went brunette.
That was fake though, right? Is what someone said?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Although she looked amazing as a brunette. She just looks amazing. As a brunette, she looks more like a, oh no, how do I say this?
Just move on.
She doesn't look like a porn star.
You could have just moved on.
She very much has like an adult actress look. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way.
And you could have just moved on.
I don't mean
even
that.
Even still, every second that passes
this
is a second
me
you could have moved on.
Of the girl who got over $100,000 in donations by, what was it, if you donate $10.
If you donated to the one
the
of the charities for the Australian fire,
I will
she would send
you
a
nude photo. And she raised over $100,000. Her Instagram was deactivated. She's been shunned by everybody for doing a good thing.
But I also heard that she eventually stopped trying to get people to give to charity and give to her.
Oh, please tell me that's not true. Don't say anything else about it because we don't want to make any accusations. I'm gonna look it up though, and that will depress me if that's true. Because I, goddamn, it's like that Belle Delphine or whatever, the girl that said if you so many likes, I'll start a YouPorn channel or whatever, and she got it, so she started a YouPorn channel or Pornhub, and it was just like videos of her and her cats and stuff, and it was like, well, I made the channel, and everybody was like, ha ha, good on her. But then she started selling gamer girl bathwater, and everybody went, oh, you had me and you lost me. Let's move on. Let's move on.
He could have moved on the whole time.
The NWA announced Power Surge and Girl Power.
Power Surge is a long-form discussion show.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah, I think I saw some. It kind of reminded me, am I wrong, of like, what is that show, Table for Three? On the network, something kind of similar.
I couldn't find many details on them because like they're still kind of coming and they're still kind of developing. But it might be.
That's very cool though to see more stuff coming out from NWA. I've been a fan of the NWA show. I think it's solid. It's a solid alternative to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they have continued success. I've been keeping up with the numbers. Their viewership declines every show, which sucks. It's still not bad. But it's nowhere near like their debut episode, which happens. I mean, you can look at AEW and NXT both, and they'll have the same thing.
Right.
This is the shitty thing for NWA is they run exclusively on YouTube.
Yeah.
So when their views go down, so does a lot of revenue, I'm assuming. I hope best things for them. And it'd be cool to watch that show, especially the Girl Power show. Is that supposed to be just like an all-women's
show?
Which they better hire some more people other than Thunder Rosa.
I mean,
they posted
Melina. The roster. Like they
oh,
posted,
did they really?
Yeah, there's the picture of the roster with the t-shirt logo, and it's the Powerpuff Girl logo in font.
Oh no!
With it,
they're not gonna get sued, are they?
Nope, they're not because the guy Cartoon Network doesn't own it. They say the creator of the show owns it, and he has said it's for use.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Restores my faith in people just a little bit. I'm looking at it right now, and that is exactly the Powerpuff Girl. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's the heart and the logo and everything.
To be fair, I never cared for Powerpuff Girls.
I loved Powerpuff Girls.
They're pretty awesome.
I loved Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, but didn't you also watch Total Bellas, Total Divas? Not Allie. I know she didn't.
No, I didn't. Did. I did watch Powerpuff Girls.
I also watched Powerpuff Girls.
I had a birthday party themed as Powerpuff Girls.
It was never that much for me.
Really? All right, so I'm unfamiliar with it. Which episode did they steal their parents' car? Like you did.
You committed a felony.
The Grand Theft Alley.
I like the meme that it's parents today are scared about how they're going to talk to their kids about if they see something homosexual on TV, how am I going to talk to my kids about this? I grew up on a TV show with a cross-dressing devil.
Yeah.
And I was totally fine.
Yeah.
Him was unsettling.
He was, yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about something even more unsettling.
No,
Kevin
we're talking
Nash.
About him. This is the him hour.
His him. Are you talking about the singer?
No.
That's a band.
I thought it was just a singer.
No, it's a band.
Well, you talking about the guy
from Infernal Majesty? Because it's an acronym.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Because I always thought the Powerpuff character was Mr.
Powerpuff?
Krabs, wasn't it?
Powerpuff?
No, like
Mr. Krabs is from SpongeBob.
Him had crab claws, though.
Yeah,
yeah.
He had claws.
He did, yeah. Him did have crab claws.
Him had crab claws.
There's also Mojo Jojo.
Which is what Audra's cat is named after.
That's how he did it, right?
That's
like a Mojo Jojo.
Racist. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that how he did it, though?
Yeah.
I know it is. I just wanted to make him feel bad about it.
Because was he a monkey with like a turban?
No,
it was a brain cap.
That's his brain?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch a lot of Powerpuff.
He's a super genius.
Did they bring that show back?
Yes.
They did.
Is it still back or is it done again?
I didn't watch any of the
episodes. That's not this show. Let's talk about Kevin Nash. I'm sorry. Kevin Nash.
What do you have against him?
You know, I was never a Kevin Nash fan.
Oh.
The only time I was a big fan of Kevin Nash was the very early NWO run.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's
bad.
You
mean the time that he teamed up with Hack Hogan?
No, I was going to say Last Call Hall.
God.
I don't like this show.
Damn.
You guys are mean.
My favorite.
He started it.
My favorite Kevin Nash story, though, legitimately, because I've watched a bunch of his shoot interviews. Because I was never a huge fan of him, but a brilliant dude and like great attitude for the business, kind of. His when he talks about the original NWO thing, and he talks about Hulk Hogan and how they came down
for
there going to do something
video.
New and revolutionary. Yeah, and it was so old wrestling that they were like, "We got to do something about this." Hogan done went Memphis on us. Anyway, tell us about Kevin Nash.
So he announced that he's like, he didn't announce that he's retired. He's just talked about being retired, and now everybody's jumping on the story that, oh, he's retired. But the thing that's newsworthy is that apparently, like, the majority of his wrestling career, he was essentially wrestling, like, broken.
Yeah.
And he posted a picture that, Shannon, try to find it to show them.
No, I've seen it. I can put it up on, it's on Instagram.
I don't think, well, I don't know if Shannon's seen it. I
haven't.
I know Alan.
Is it the one on his Instagram, like the two side by side?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he has a picture of what his leg looked like and how it's looked like for a very long time. And after multiple surgeries and a lot of therapy, what he looks like now.
Holy
look at the legs,
shit.
Yeah.
Because the picture on the left is what is like, he wrestled like that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
That's like Joe from Family Guy.
Yeah. Like, it's amazing. Like, I don't understand how he's on his feet there. Like, seeing that's how he was. So, yeah.
Right, so I'm not trying to make a joke. Does this have anything to do with the injuries he suffered?
I mean, probably.
Where he tore his quad and stuff like that? Like,
I mean, potentially. Like, that puts a lot of pressure on your
hips. It's either... part of it, like, it made it worse, or it's why it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, so
because, like, that also explains, and I'm not being a dick, but it also explains, like, why he had baggy pants.
Because
you're able to hide all of that.
Yeah, now that I think about it, he wore leather pants, but they were baggy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Generally, leather is always tight.
Yeah.
Like Io Shirai, when she wears leather pants.
But so it's also like Luke Gallows whenever he wears leather pants.
I was using that as a transition to the next story about Io Shirai, but we can keep going with those.
But we're happy that his legs are...
I'm glad that he's healthy and like.
Well, it's just like Scott Hall whenever he got clean.
Yeah.
Like, so happy about that because I think all of us, I'm sure, have seen that video of him at the indie event
They
had to actually hold him and spin him around to do his punch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was one thing that I want more than to be entertained is for everyone to be okay.
Yeah.
That's very important to me.
Oh, AEW is doing Bash at the Beach next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
Oh.
When they announced it like 3 weeks ago.
Well, they just did another thing about it, and I saw it. So I was like, oh, it's next week.
I thought that was WCW. Because
it's kicking off the Rock and Wrestle Rager.
Right now, a lot of our friends are in, where are they at? In Mississippi, I think?
Memphis.
Are they in Memphis?
Yeah.
To watch Marco wrestle in AEW.
Yeah.
That's happening right now because Mr. Pink actually just sent me a picture of Marco in the ring. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, Lori texted me and she's like, I wish you were going. And I'm like, I got work in the morning.
Yeah, like we can't all drop and go to Memphis just randomly. Yeah. Sorry.
God, I wish.
Same.
I honestly thought about it.
Of going to Memphis or AEW?
Yeah, I'm just being like, so I don't know if you guys can come, but like, this is a thing I'm doing.
That's how you would pitch it to us?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys can come, but I'm going?
Yeah.
Instead of, hey, do you want to go with me?
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, somebody's a jerk.
Damn.
I take care of me. I look out for number one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't come here to make friends. I came here to be number one.
Well, how's that working for you?
That's terrible.
Clearly working.
It's almost like you need friends.
He's at the head of the table. Where you at, side boy? On the side.
You're acting like a real Derek Savage right now.
How can I turn Star Boy into side boy? He's a motherfucking side boy.
Yeah, that was good. You just got sued by The Weeknd too.
So
he's going to do it on a Thursday.
That's CCW fun. Fans, next time Dalton wrestles, chant side boy at him. Side boy. Side boy.
God, I wish Caleb still made signs.
I will personally high-five.
Because you know we would have gotten a side boy sign.
I will personally high-five and take pictures with anybody. In fact, no, I'm gonna triple down on that. Myself, Asa, and Allie.
Yeah, he's up there.
You're not going to take a picture with anybody that makes a side boy sign?
If they make a sign.
Yeah. If you make a sign that says side boy and then draw Dalton in the worst way possible, like make it offensive.
It's a family show.
Yeah, no.
It's a family show.
It's a family show, but like, no.
Wait, Sarge is coming back. We're good. We just went back to PG-13.
Except if you print out a picture of Dale Gribble and put it on the sign.
But you got to give him a dumbass like haircut, man bun thing.
Yeah, just draw a man bun on it.
I feel like I missed something with the Dale Gribble.
Yeah, I did too.
She drew him
the senior
picture.
Oh,
picture
yeah.
Like long
story. Hey, what about Bushiroad? Bushiroad. Yes. Prepared to offer, this is the story Asa wrote, prepared to offer Io Shirai and Kairi Sane big money to return to Japan. Please don't.
Yeah, that's Stardom.
I don't want them to go.
It's the company that owns Stardom now, same company, that parent company for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Apparently, according to, I think it was the Wrestling Online newsletter, apparently Io Shirai is not happy. Io Shirai is not happy in
really?
NXT. Yeah.
Oh, I assumed it would be Kairi Sane.
And they are prepared to offer both of them just like a ridiculous amount of money to come back.
Why not Asuka? Or is just her, maybe her shit isn't up yet?
It might be that. It may also just be that they probably know that she may not be able to, because like Asuka has made a very comfortable life for herself. You know, she's got her YouTube channel.
Which is an entertaining channel, even
she's
though
she's being used, you know, in WWE
fairly regularly. Yeah,
relatively well. So, yeah, and it may just be like, you know, that her deal is farther away from coming out. Because I'm sure they would love to have her back, too. Because why would you have a women's division and not want Asuka?
Yeah.
Or Kana.
I was about to say Kana, yeah. But
I don't want them to leave, though. I really don't. Because I love Io Shirai. Mm-hmm. She's how I found out about Poppy. Mm-hmm. If it weren't for Io Shirai, I never would have found out about Poppy.
I love that you didn't know about Poppy before.
I didn't.
Yeah,
I did.
I
forget who posted it in the group chat, the NXT Poppy video, and we were all like, is this a new character?
Yeah,
this
like,
is
oh,
weird.
Is this a wrestler
debuting?
No,
I didn't know who it was. I didn't know she was. I learned that's how she did music.
That, I mean, and then I became obsessed with it. And we're going to go see her in concert.
Yes.
February 15th.
You're actually going?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
Got it for Christmas. So if you're going to be in St. Louis at the Poppy concert February 15th and you'd like to take pictures with Allie, hit us up.
Make
Shannon
a side
will take,
boy.
Shannon
side
will take
boy.
Those pictures.
I'll take the picture.
Yeah. Make a side boy sign and take it to the Poppy concert.
give me bloody.
Bring the side boy picture with the side boy sign. Side boy sign.
So that way she can like try to use it as a thing, and then I can sue her like Derek Savage. Did you know he's a jerk?
That's Savage.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't go Io. Io. Kyrie, you can go.
Really?
I like Kyrie.
I need them to make the heel figure, and then she can get on out.
After she got beat up so bad, I'm like, no, she's precious. Send her back to Japan where no one will hurt her.
Oh.
That's how that works.
You obviously didn't watch Wrestle Kingdom.
That bastard Charlotte Flair won't hurt her anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
precious Kyrie Sane.
The rest of them will, though.
Hey, Dan Rickett. No, it's Dan Reichert?
Dan Reichert.
Has joined WWE. I don't know who that is.
He used to work for Giant Bomb, is where he's worked most recently. He's been in the video game industry for years. He's the one who got married at a Taco Bell. He's done videos with Xavier Woods. He's made appearances on Up, Up, Down, Down. He's made appearances on Kind of Funny. He's done all sorts of stuff. He worked at Game Informer for a little while.
Nice.
He's a hilarious dude.
So he's clearly not wrestling.
No. He's a hilarious guy. I'm a really big fan of him. He's written a couple books as well. And he is now taking on a role in WWE as a podcast producer.
Okay.
So he's going to be working on like helping produce Corey Graves' show, The New Day podcast, things like that.
I remember when we used to have a producer.
Then she got sassy
and everybody wanted her on the show. We all love Allie.
That's not what we said.
Even though you should hear how blunt she is off the air.
Well, she's cursed with honesty.
She just tells it like it is, honestly.
That was an honest sigh.
Will Ospreay. Yeah. You know, I always, when I first heard about Will Ospreay, I always wanted to spell his name with an O apostrophe spray.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's not, because then that'd be Willow Spray.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
That's a Pokemon. Gen 4.
Potential injury.
Yes. Apparently this also happened.
Was this at Wrestle Kingdom?
Yeah. It happened in the first 5 minutes of their match, too. And he went another like 15.
Yeah.
But he has a potential heel or ankle injury. There's not really a lot of details on it yet, which they don't disclose a lot of stuff like that sometimes.
Well, I mean, when you're not like... Well, even WWE is pretty tight to the vest about a lot of that.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the severity of the injury.
Yeah.
But
that match was so stupid.
I didn't watch any of Wrestle Kingdom 4, but before
14.
I did. I meant to say before. Sorry. Okay. I didn't mean to say 4. I didn't watch any of Wrestle Kingdom before, but I did know before even hearing about it that it was at least a 9.5 out of 10 on every rating because, like, I'm pretty sure most sites, even before the show aired, already gave it like a 5-star review. Just because the implication. It's one of those things that, like, Wrestle Kingdom will always be a top-tier show before the show even airs, because everyone knows it's going to be one. And I think even if the show was lackluster, it would still get a better rating than any other show. I just think there's that perception.
Did you read any reviews of the matches, or are you just...
No, I did. And from everything I saw, there was only, like, one or two matches that didn't get great reviews. Am I wrong? Or was that just the one site I looked at?
It's probably the one site you looked at, because,
really?
Like...
It was pretty divisive.
Both nights, really? Pretty much the first half... of the shows were kind of knocked for being feeling unimportant and being just kind of run of the mill faction warfare.
Huh. Yeah, and that was very much
aside from the Jushin Thunder Liger stuff, because those were both pretty early on both nights.
Yeah,
and that was his retirement, right?
Yeah,
yep,
yeah.
His retirement that ended his retirement tour,
which is really sad. Jushin Thunder Liger was always one of my absolute favorite wrestlers.
I mean, yeah, but it's also one of those like. It's one of the most well deserved retirements.
Oh yeah, how old, like, was he?
Did you see his interview?
No, I haven't seen
it. I can't remember who he says. It might have been the Great Muda, but he's just like, he told me I could always just unretire whenever, so
He's not wrong.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, no.
Jushin Thunder Liger, I think I've said on the show before, like whenever, back before you could download wrestlers on the wrestling games, mm-hmm. he was always the first formula I would look up to make Jushin Thunder Liger, because they always had his parts in, you just had to make him. I loved it. Between him and Ultimo Dragon were my Japanese wrestling before I knew Japanese wrestling was so big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like them and then Great Muta. Basically anyone that came through like WCW. Honestly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, for the longest time, WCW was the best way to be acquainted with any of the Japanese wrestling scene. Yeah. Unless you were like deep into tape trading.
Yeah, because the internet wasn't as prevalent like with wrestling back then.
It was because the internet really didn't exist like that back then. Like it was a thing, but it wasn't
as accessible.
Like
or...
streaming and like watching wrestling wasn't a thing on the internet.
No, I still remember trading tapes when I was younger.
Oh, see, I never had to do that.
Yeah, no, you were so blessed.
I very much remember like how I watched Jushin Thunder Liger. I don't think I found him until I was a teenager, because I didn't watch WCW, and like until I went to Village Video one night and I was looking for something that wasn't WrestleMania 14.
Yeah, boy, I wore out them Coliseum videos.
Yeah, like because it's one of those things that I went there and I always watched. I always rented the two Stone Cold Steve Austin documentaries. I made two of them. One was Uncensored. One was Hell Yeah. Those were the names of the videos. I didn't want to make that sound stupid, but like I would always rent those two.
Those were his ratings for him.
Yeah, Uncensored. It's such a good rating as Uncensored. And
I like Punk's new documentary. Go suck a blood money covered dick, you fucking dork.
Yeah, I'm assuming that'll be Uncensored. That'll be the, also.
Yeah,
but like I would, and then I would rent like any WWF pay per view that had Austin on the cover.
Because you're a big Stone Cold fan, is what you're telling me.
Because it was the it wasn't the 90s as much, but like that was the era that I really started watching wrestling that I remember. But so I just remember barely, like I was like, oh, I've seen all these matches, I know how they all go. Oh, that's Macho Man. I kind of know who that is. So I started watching WCW that way, and I saw Liger that way, and then fortunately, like MySpace video was a thing, so I was able to find Liger matches.
MySpace.
That's how I watched WrestleMania, because people were like torrenting like WrestleMania Live, and I was like, and like I didn't know that was a bad thing then. I was like 14.
Yeah, you did. It's
well, funny. I was like, how are they showing this? Well, the video quality is kind of bad, and they need to fix that.
We had the same thing when I was younger, but it was porn and it was on satellite.
Oh, but it was fuzzy. Yeah,
and if it rained just right, like it would line up, and you could actually make out the naughty bits.
Yeah.
And then that's how I like saw Liger and like Ultimo and all those.
Yeah, no, I was a WCW kid, so.
Have you seen?
In fact, when I was younger, I wanted to be a like when I played wrestling games, I always had all the light heavyweight moves because I wanted to do flips and all that. Basically, what they do now, like all the time, mm-hmm. that's the wrestler I wanted to be. And then I grew up and realized I'm not the size to do that. Time to start learning punches and knees.
Have you guys seen the Storm Collectibles Ligers figures?
Was it the black one that? Well, that's someone tagged you in.
Yeah,
one of
Noah
them.
Did.
Noah, yeah.
There's that one. That's a ringside exclusive. So I kind of have to wait to get paid to because like. Sadie's older brother has the Storm Collectibles Liger, and it's gorgeous. Like, if I buy it, it's going to be, like, the centerpiece of my, like, wrestling collection.
You're going to put it under glass?
Not that much, because I want to, like, play with
it. You're just going to leave it in the box, like it deserves.
Nope, because I'm not a quitter when it comes to figure collecting.
Leave everything in the box. Everything belongs in a box. Why would you take it out of the box? Mm. Do you play with it? Do you sit there and do little matches with your little hands and your little ring?
Yeah.
Because there are video games you can do that on.
Yes. He takes the pictures.
20's broken.
Well,
so.
Well, I mean, you can't now because you can't load anything. Because
2020 happened.
I had Justin Smart in my house the other day. Him and Mandy came over and hung out for a little bit.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
that sounds much less menacing than initially. Just like, so I had Justin Smart.
So he's really upset about that locking him out of the house, huh?
But he went down. I was showing him my game room, and he saw No Mercy was in the 64, and he was like, "That's the best wrestling game of all time." So if you can't play 2K20 right now, just go play No Mercy, a game that was never broken,
mm-hmm.
except for the fact that it was broken. Right?
Yeah. But anyway, they have
shit
the,
don't change, man.
They have the like black gear that's like ringside exclusive. I really want to get the red white, like the
classic look. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a pretty figure. But yeah, no, the Liger retirement was a big thing.
I guess we can just jump into the Wrestle Kingdom recap. That was next on the list.
So. Oh yeah, what? Well, we talked about Ospreay already.
Yeah, Ospreay possible injury, but we don't know anything.
But Takahashi won that match. Was that his return match?
I don't think he wrestled.
Yeah, I was gonna say he must have wrestled before.
I think he wrestled before, but this was like his first big
match.
This is the big post broken neck.
Yeah.
Which, like, if you think about when he broke his neck, I don't think he was out long enough. And then to have the match that he did,
wasn't it a year? Wasn't it at the last Wrestle Kingdom?
think it was a little bit before. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway. Because
it was against Dragon Lee. I remember that.
Yeah, and because it was on that weird powerbomb reverse.
And I remember seeing it and being like, oh, he's dead. Oh, no, he's up. He's fine. Cool. And then the next day it was just like, yeah, so he's got a broken neck.
I say,
like,
Hiromu has a broken neck.
I was very surprised to see Tanahashi tap out.
Yeah, see, Jericho. That was
weird.
That
was pretty wild.
Because, like, Jericho made the big video next to the jet saying, if you beat me, you get an AEW title shot. And it's like, and I get that that's kind of neat.
That was in response to Tanahashi kind of being like, hey, if I beat him, I should get a title shot. And then they just kind of leaned into it, except only New Japan leaned into it. Like, AEW never mentioned that they had multiple guys going to that show, much less that there was a championship match at stake. So that was kind of weird.
But I mean, it's cool to see that Moxley won the IWGP US belt again.
Mm-hmm. It was even cooler to see what happened after.
Yeah.
What happened after?
Minoru Suzuki came out and messed him up.
And challenged him, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then,
messed him up the next night, I'm pretty sure.
Moxley, screwed him up at New Year's Dash.
Left him lying.
And then, like, the camera, there's a really great picture of Suzuki just on the mat grinning like a fucking madman that he is.
Yeah.
Because those matches are going to be gross.
When they were slapping each other?
I don't want to watch them.
Oh, I'm going to. I don't care if they're wrecking their bodies. That's fine. I am kind of upset that Naito won the double belt.
Oh, fuck you. I will fight you.
So I'm kind of upset that Naito won the double belt.
Naito has needed a Wrestle Kingdom moment for like 60 years.
That's true. Because didn't he challenge Okada?
Omega and Okada. And
lost
he's lost
to both.
To
of
both.
Them. Yeah.
So like I've always had a soft spot for Naito.
And
I think
Naito's great. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that he's
bad. I love
bad.
Him in the 70s disco suit. That's just one of mm-hmm. my favorite looks.
Like, I think Naito is really talented. But when you're like, this is the first ever double, like that was the big thing both nights. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay. So, and this goes back to, because I was talking to Sadie about it. I was like, this is just like whenever WWE did the Undisputed title the second time in like 2013, 2014. No, it was 2013. And it was not Jericho. It was Cena and Randy Orton in the ladder match at TLC that year.
Right.
And I was like, okay, cool. They're going to give it to Cena. Like, they're doing this. It really needs to go to Cena because this is really the person that's like kind of carried the company. And like, as the first one, that's kind of like, that would be the logical choice. And that was kind of my thought going into it. So as I had that thought, I realized Naito was winning the belt. Because it's like, well, that's who they're going to give it to, even though I feel like it should be Okada. And that's kind
of
how I felt.
Well, of course you think it's Okada. Like, and
doesn't
and you're
Okada
not
have enough?
See, and that's the thing is Okada doesn't need it. Okada right. doesn't need to be that unbeatable to now hold both belts. He doesn't need to be that dominant
anymore.
He
doesn't need to be Superman.
If they had done
No, I don't want to hear he doesn't need to be Superman whenever Kota Ibushi's on that fucking roster.
Yeah, and he lost twice.
He lost to Okada.
Didn't he lose to Jay White too?
Yeah, but it was in the most bullshit fashion.
but he lost.
It took...
So he couldn't win. You're just it's a yes or no question.
No, he didn't win either night.
Okay, so he lost both nights.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember that comic book where Superman lost two big stories in a row?
Yeah, it was the death of Superman.
Yeah, but then is Ibushi gonna come back with an awesome mullet? Doubt Probably. It.
Is Ibushi gonna come back with four different people claiming to be Ibushi?
Oh yes, I want that now.
That would be great. Cyber Ibushi.
No, I wanted it to be Naito
Ibushi boy.
Because one, I love Naito. Two, if this had happened maybe like 3 years ago, absolutely give it to Okada. Really, when he was first overcoming Tanahashi
mm-hmm.
for the first time. Like, yeah, give it to him then, because then you can kind of like, this is a big deal, and now, hey, this is the guy that we're building our future on. Okada's the present. Like, and Naito really hasn't had that chance to really break through yet. He's always been that final boss that the person has to overcome.
He's the sub-boss
yeah.
before the main boss.
And so this, I think this is a nice thing for
the mini-boss.
Naito to have.
Ibushi was main event against Okada second night, right?
First night.
Oh, that was first night?
Second night was the Intercontinental match, the Intercontinental Championship match and the IWGP Heavyweight Championship match were night one. And then the winners of those matches faced at night two to do the double gold.
The losers matched up against each other to be the number one contender, I think.
I don't think they ever said that. I think it was just kind of like heavily implied that
if you got third place,
then you could face. But the way that the night two ended
yeah.
kind of throws that out.
Oh, that was awesome.
I did love that. So Kenta just fucks up Naito and then does the super disrespectful sitting on his chest, holding both of his belts. Like, that was an amazing shot.
Just think, how many years ago was it Kota Ibushi was in WWE wrestling for the Cruiserweight Championship?
Three.
No, it was for the
Cruiserweight Classic.
Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was for the Cruiserweight Championship.
It turned out.
And then the rumor was that they were signing Ibushi, and then he was like, oh, I'm good. We were so close to having Ibushi wasted in WWE.
What could have been?
Oh, because I love Ibushi. Ibushi's in my top, like, at least top and 10.
Because, like, I watched it. I watched his match with Jay White all the way through, like, live. And as I was watching it, and I was like, I really don't think I like Kota Ibushi as much as I thought I did.
What?
It's because in the middle, so like Kota Ibushi matches work in a very simple way, where he does a really ignorant bump at the beginning of the match, sells it right up until 18 because they have a count of 20, and then gets beat up for a little bit, and then becomes the Terminator. Where like he literally took a kick from Gato, the manager of Jay White. He took two kicks. Well, he got hit in the back with a chair. Turned around, no sold it, like he was like the Big Show.
Mm.
And then got kicked in the gut twice and didn't move either time. Gato's an actual competitor, too, by the way. He's not just a manager.
I know.
So he took two gut kicks after almost dying, didn't sell it. And then like then he starts getting his fire up on Jay White. And even the announcer's like, oh, he says that he gets in a zone like this, he blacks out. And it's like, okay, why wouldn't he do that at the beginning of the match? Like, that's what I would do.
No. So I don't want to hear that because
I don't think you can control when you black out.
And go ahead, and then I'll say my piece.
So then he starts messing up Jay White. Gato comes in with brass knuckles, which is one of his gimmicks. He goes for a punch. Kota Ibushi stops it, twists his arm. And then this is, like, amazing New Japan. Like, this is when the match stopped being stupid and got really comical to me. Jay White, Sabu fastballs a chair at his head. He kind of stumbles. Gato hits him with the brass knuckles. Falls, Jay White picks him up, hits two finishers, and pins him. And then my thought was, if he fucking kicks out, because it's Kota Ibushi, and at Wrestle Kingdom 9, he beat Finn Balor whenever there was, like, all of Bullet Club ringside fucking with him. Like, I've seen Kota Ibushi just be Superman before.
So,
and it's one of those where I'm like, I don't think I like Kota Ibushi as much as I thought.
So when you say, well, if he could do that, why doesn't he do that at the beginning of the match? Every match I see nowadays where you hit 12 finishers, but everybody kicks out on pay-per-view, but never on like Raw. And it's like, why don't they just do that all the time? If you can kick out of 6 finishers on pay-per-view, why would you not do it on every match? The logic in wrestling is stupid. There is no logic in wrestling. Wrestling is stupid.
Oh, also, like, Naito kicked out of, like, 3 Rainmakers in a row.
Everybody does
yes,
at Wrestle
Kingdom.
It's
a New Japan Wrestle Kingdom match.
I just saw that, and I was like, man, that's kind of a weird way to treat
Okada
that.
Okada has kicked out of literally everyone's finisher, like, 8 times. It's not...
Except for Omega.
It's a... Because, well, he never hit it.
Every time I see any match now, and it's like, unless it's a squash match, it's almost guaranteed to have at least 4 finishers. And, like, I am so sick
and
of that.
And, like, you can't criticize one person for it when literally every other person does that, too. Like, it's just...
I have yet to see that gut kick spot where it's just kicks him.
No, I'm talking about the finisher
okay,
thing.
Okay, gotcha.
You have the right to not like Ibushi. I won't tell you not to. That's absolutely
yeah,
right.
Yeah, like, he's an amazing talent. I'm not going to say that he's not talented.
I can plug the laptop in. I'm right back.
Oh, no, you're good. He's, like... I understand that he is one of the best wrestlers going right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I like him because I really don't like that whole thing of just, like... All right, you
don't like when he hulks up.
But, like, his hulk up is, like, the most intense. Like, at least when Hogan got punched, he shook his head.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan like, didn't get hit with brass knucks and stuff.
I'm sure he did
could
in the 80s. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did in the 80s. But, like Hogan at least shook his head and made a funny face. Like, Kota Ibushi legit just dead-ass stood there whenever Gato kicked him in the gut twice. And I'm like... And also, like, a wrestling kick to the gut looks really bad when the person doesn't move at all.
Because
mm-hmm. it's like, you know, you need to move to make it not look like you didn't get hit.
Yeah.
Remember when Leo Rush went through
pile driver off the ladder through the table and then he just stood right back up?
I also thought that was stupid. I need you to realize I thought that was stupid also.
I watched a What Culture Wrestling video today with Simon Miller, you know, hopefully winning that
I'm so bummed out Gregory Irons didn't get to the second round.
Oh, did he get eliminated?
Yep.
That mm-hmm. sucks.
So now I'm pushing for Matt
War
Cross.
Horse. Oh, is Warhorse out?
Warhorse, I think his bracket came or his vote came up today. I hope so. I'm pushing for Warhorse or Matt Cross.
I like Simon Miller personally.
I mean, I like him.
I like Simon Miller. He just seems like a funny dude.
If there's going to be somebody that deserves to be on a wrestling video game, I think it's somebody that has wrestled more.
Sure. I mean, if
it sells more copies for RetroSoft and they can get more like
that's about money.
They get indie like DLC and they can get those people. Sweet.
But he was talking about the 8 things AEW does wrong or what they don't say about AEW or what people don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
And one of his criticisms was like dives and how like 90% of wrestling now is dives. Mm-hmm. AEW is filled with dives. Every match has at least three or four dives in it.
I mean, WWE like 4 years ago had that same issue.
Oh, he said about WWE too. He said pretty much all wrestling now is just dive.
Yeah.
And it's all choreographed and it doesn't look like people are actually fighting anymore. And that's the problem I have with stuff like you're talking about with Ibushi is like in a fight, if someone cracks you with something, I mean, that should be it. Like I get you're building up drama, but I don't know. It just seems like a cheat code. Like it's like, well, how do we build drama for this match? Let's have them get everything thrown at him and he kicks out of it. And that's just so easy than writing out a storyline or a story in the match where something happens and you just throw the entire fucking load at someone and they go, oh, that was brilliant. Look at what he overcame. Yeah, but it seems lazy. I don't know. I'm usually wrong.
But no, Wrestle Kingdom was a lot of fun.
Old man yells a cloud.
Jericho Tanahashi was a lot of fun. I did like that match a lot. All of the matches that I pretty much saw a lot night two live. Although I had to go back and watch the first hour because I messed my time zones up because I am notoriously bad.
It wasn't
about
only
that.
The time zones you messed up, is
you
it?
You messed
buddy?
Up the day, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I thought it was like one day and I stayed up and then yeah, I woke up the actual night of night two and the account that I was supposed to be using wasn't on the TV even though I was told it was. So I didn't get to watch night one. So like I think I watched Archer's match and Moxley's match and then I watched Okada and Ibushi, and then I think I saw the Liger matches. That was all I've seen in night one.
Mm-hmm.
I like Ibushi.
He's really good. I just don't care for it. Like it's one of those, like, I won't say that he's, like, I'm not going to be a Cornette that's just like, he's a bullshit wrestler. No, like, he's amazing, but I just don't like his.
Did Cornette say that about Ibushi?
I'm sure he has.
Probably.
I don't think he said anything bad about Ibushi.
He's done comedy stuff.
That's not true. Yeah, he wrestled the blow-up doll, didn't he?
About to say, he's buddies with Omegas. He's definitely said.
Didn't he do DDT wrestling?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a guarantee then, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was the Golden Lovers
with Omega.
What a stupid fucking name for a team. That's almost as bad as Dangerously Delicious. Who came up with that shit?
You did.
What?
Huh? I will say, oh, God, what was it? Oh, Jim Cornette's most recent thing with Kenny Omega is saying that he's an actor, not a wrestler. So he calls him Kenny Olivier. And I'm like, okay, if you're sticking to that, like if that's the hill you're dying on, that's actually kind of a pretty funny burn.
Yeah, but the funny thing about it is wrestling is acting. So nuts to you.
McGillicuddy.
What?
Nuts to you, McGillicuddy.
But yeah, no, Wrestle Kingdom was fun. It wasn't as good as like Wrestle Kingdom 12 or Wrestle Kingdom 11, in my opinion, but it was a good one.
Well, that's good. And I think they'll do well.
I mean, they do well every time.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully it catches on.
I'm going to slap the shit out of him one of these days.
Let's talk.
Also, they're doing a West, like, they keep saying that they're going to, like, they're doing more of a, like, an American expansion, but they're not going to be able to use, like, some of the people they have. Like, I don't think Moxie's going to be able to wrestle for him whenever they're in America, because that's a precedent that has been set, that he's not at those shows.
Yeah.
And, like, Jericho won't be there.
I mean, that already happened.
That's what I'm saying. There's a precedent.
He was the U.S. champion and couldn't defend the U.S. championship in the U.S.
Yeah, that's what I was getting.
That's why I was really surprised that they put that back on him.
Well, I think it was because they had a better plan for it, and then he had a visa issue, or he had a...
The travel issue.
Yeah, the travel issue.
But
it wasn't a visa issue.
Isn't it kind of well known that New Japan and AEW are, like, not friends?
Well, it's a really weird thing, because they keep talking about, like... Because Chris Jericho keeps talking about, the Forbidden Door. And Cody Rhodes even did an interview where he was just like, I like the phrase the Forbidden Door, but it's not true. Like, clearly we have guys that have arrangements to work in Japan. Like, it's an ongoing thing, but apparently there is, you know, management level bad blood still, and it's a complicated deal. Because I would like for them to work together.
Anytime you hear Jericho, like, anytime I hear about the business side of New Japan, it makes me not like New Japan.
Yeah.
Because, like, you hear, like... Jericho talking about whenever he was doing his like first thing there and they were just lowballing the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear like Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows being like, yeah, no, us leaving helped out everybody else that was there, because then they realized they actually had to start paying people a whole lot. Mm-hmm. He was like, they paid us good, but they could have been paying us better. And then like you hear the whole Brock Lesnar story where it's like, yeah, Brock Lesnar was being a dick, but they also shouldn't have cut his pay as bad as they did. And that's why he just didn't show back up with the belt. Like, it's one of those things, like, New Japan is notoriously awful sometimes when it comes to management issues.
Yeah.
Like, if you believe hearsay from other people.
Which I do.
Like, the people that are saying
that's it. That's all we have here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hearsay and conjecture are kinds of evidence.
Yeah.
Ace, it's something about Hard to Kill. It's a fantastic movie.
It's, well, we're not talking about that, unfortunately. It's going to be, it's January 12th. It's the next Impact Wrestling pay-per-view. And it looks like it's going to be a really, really good card. I'll run that down real quick. Ken Shamrock versus Madman Fulton. This is the first time they're really letting Madman Fulton speak for extended periods. And he's really, like, he's almost getting to the point where, like, even Sammy Callahan can't control him anymore. So this is, like, scary Fulton, who is threatened to break every bone in Ken Shamrock's body.
That Which he's getting kind of old. He might
that
be
could be kind of gross. Shamrock still looks good, though.
Yeah.
He does, but
he's still looking
Ken
good.
Ken Shamrock looks better now than I will ever look in my dreams.
Did you see the video that Joey Ryan posted on Facebook where he was explaining how to do the dick flip to him?
No.
Oh, it's so, it is the
God,
sweetest thing in the world.
Of these guys killing the business.
What, with the dick flip?
Yeah, with Shamrock.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Moose versus Rhino. Brian Cage versus Rob Van Dam.
Sorry, just
Moose versus Marcel. Okay, I'm there. I get what you're getting. Yeah, that is Rhino. That actually is kind of funny.
It's just very funny to me. Money's on Rhino.
Eddie Edwards versus Michael Elgin, singles match for the Call Your Shot trophy. The Impact Tag Team World Tag Team Championships, the North are defending against Willie Mack and Rich Swann. That'd I want to see that match.
Did you see the most recent Twitter thing that Ethan Page put on? They had both belts side by side. And they were like, I wish they made one blue so we know which one's
They would have kept one blue because they used to be blue and then they recolored them as red.
That's right.
So me and Josh can tell which one's which. I thought you were talking about them going hard on Gabe Sapolsky and Evolve. That was also
I'm
real uncomfortable
that's
to see.
Not on...
I thought about it, but it's part of the business side that we genuinely don't know jack about.
And I don't know what the story is at all.
So, do you know who David Starr is?
Yes.
Okay, he's the guy who's constantly fighting, like, speaking for, like, wrestler unions and Wrestler Lights and We the Indies, stuff like that.
Right.
He posted that he was blocked by Gabe Sapolsky recently.
And Evolve.
And the Evolve Twitter accounts for pointing out that Evolve apparently, like, doesn't always pay the people who appear on those shows. They use the exposure.
Oh, hey, come to the show and
come to the
you'll
show.
Get your name out there. That's a kind of payment.
And apparently, like, a bunch of people have kind of, like, started talking about, like, Ethan Page and Brian Cage were both like, yeah, at a certain point, we kind of told them that if you're paying us pennies, you're telling us that's what we're worth. And, you know, you can't really do that. So there's just been a real big dogpile on Gabe Sapolsky on Twitter. And it kind of was kicked off about that.
Hmm. Man, rougher indie feds right now. Or some of the bigger indie ones.
Yeah,
Ring of Honor still kind of getting dragged through the mud.
Everything's on fire.
2020.
Three-way match for the Impact Knockouts Championship. Knockouts. Knockout
you know Rockets. My favorite NBA team, the Houston Knockouts?
Yeah, I just said Knockout Rockets. Thanks.
Knockout Rockets sounds like Sarge's next film.
Impact Knockouts Championship. It's Taya Valkyrie defending against Jordan Grace and ODB.
Ooh.
Good to see ODB back. She's always fun.
Mm-hmm. I liked her storyline with Eric Young.
She's also in that. Yeah, she was also in the cast photo for NWA Girl Power too.
That's cool.
I saw there. Speaking of Sarge, I actually saw a picture of him because I was looking for a picture of him to use in his announcement picture for CCW at the Riot match, and I found an older one of him that said before they became stars, and it was him with ODB and Angelina Love, I think, and they were both like super young.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of cool to see, and she still looked like ODB then.
The,
Allie, you know who ODB is?
No.
Don't tell her name.
She's one dirty bitch.
Oh.
See, I said it better than the Impact announcer did that one.
She would come out and drink the beer. She was basically kind of like Stone Cold guy.
She swigs from a flask.
She was more like the female Sandman.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
they fair. Didn't put her nearly as the spotlight they should. She was so good when she was like in her prime going.
Mm-hmm. She's still good though.
Yeah, say hey. Time's not over yet, baby.
Singles match for the Impact X Division Championship. Ace Austin defending against Trey Miguel. Miguel, oh my God, I'm tired and hungry.
It's okay. Taco Bell's waiting for you.
They've also turned. They have a box again.
Blah, blah, blah,
I'm
blah,
so
blah.
Happy. This has also been heavily of. So Ace Austin is just a pervert. So now instead of trying to steal Eddie Edwards' wife, he's trying to bang Trey's mom.
Please tell me he just comes out with the blinders in front of him and he peeks through him.
No, that would involve there being some conspicuity behind him. He's just flat
no,
out.
Yeah, he's just straight up, just like dedicating his wins and.
It can't be nearly as bad though as when what was his name? The guy that left and started the research into concussions.
Oh,
Chris Nowinski.
Chris Nowinski, when he was doing the feud or he was doing the angle with Molly Holly and he flat out said on the air, "I'm gonna break her hymen."
Oh, yeah.
Still
oh,
one
yeah.
of my absolute favorite tasteless moments.
And my favorite thing about this angle is that
T.I.'s fucking
really,
ears popped up.
They're really letting Trey like kind of drop the goofy stoner comedy shit. Like he's taking this very, very seriously and is just beating the shit out of Ace like every single time he's
very defensive.
Is shitty.
What does his mom look like though?
Is she hot?
I mean, if you watched on Twitch, you would know.
Wait, you can watch.
And then the Impact World Championship.
Twitch?
Wait, Sami Shannon
Callahan.
Has a
Sami Callahan defending against Tessa Blanchard, and they need to pull the trigger on Tessa Blanchard winning the
put the title on her.
If they're going to do it, it needs to happen because it's been like a year. It feels like of her and it definitely hasn't been a year.
Her and Solomon Crowe,
but her,
right?
Yeah, her and Callahan have been feuding, and he's kind of gotten the one up every major match. So, like, if it's going to happen, it should happen now.
I agree. Impact, don't be a daddy, Derek. Put the title on Tessa Blanchard. Let's make history.
Yep.
Be a cool cat for once. Don't be a dirty dog.
Yeah.
So Derek, that's a Saturday. I'm excited for it.
Also, you might want to know that Hard to Kill is also a 1990 American action thriller film.
I can guarantee it's
Steven Seagal plays Mason Storm.
I can guarantee this is better than any Derek Savage movie.
Detective who falls into a coma after being shot during a firefight that kills his wife. Now he reawakens 7 years later and embarks on a journey to avenge the death of his wife and expose the corruption of Senator Vernon Trent.
So yeah, it's definitely better than any Derek Savage movie.
I watched Cool Cat Saves the Kids. I disagree.
Yeah, I don't.
I have a penchant for self-harm.
Those movies are great.
Steven Seagal could be cast as Neil Breen and no one would notice.
I would, because Neil Breen's better. Neil Breen's a more believable actor.
You're being a real Derek Savage right now.
My favorite, did you ever see there's a part, there's a skit on SNL where Jackie Chan hosted and like all these other kind of kung fu people come out and kind of like pick fights with him. And Steven Seagal comes out and picks a fight and he says something like, I just assumed you're like a comedian, not a kung fu fighter. I assumed you made comedies. And it's good because Steven Seagal's a joke is the point. Like, what a piece of garbage. I don't like Steven Seagal. He's a terrible actor. Mm. Name a good Steven Seagal movie.
Hard to Kill.
Name a Steven Seagal movie you've seen. I'm serious.
There's
one.
All right, so there's one.
What's the name of it?
I can't think of the name of it.
What's it about?
He goes to Jamaica and it's like a cursed thing and like there's like voodoo magic and shit. I will find the title of it. I've seen it like 20 times, but I can't.
There's only one Steven Seagal movie you need to watch, and it's called The Glimmer Man. And the only reason you watch it is because it also had Keenan Ivory Wayans. Truth. Asa, what's the question of the week?
Question of the week. This is something that it kind of like, I ended up watching a random episode of Wrestling with Regret over the weekend.
Oh, it's so good.
And it was one of the episode. It was a match that the Giant. It was a WCW pay-per-view, and it was the Giant against, I think, Hulk Hogan for the WCW championship.
Is that the...
Was it the...
It doesn't matter. It's just... It's a...
Is it the Monster Truck one is the one I'm
no,
asking?
No, no. It's just... Oh. It's just a... It was a wrestling match.
Okay.
And he kind of, like, shit on the Big Show a little bit of just, like... I mean, he did what he could, blah, blah, blah. Like,
is that Brian Zane shit on him?
Yeah. It just, like... And maybe not, like... That's probably the wrong term, but he was kind of, like... It seemed kind of critical. But then I remembered... Big Show used to be terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So marked for death.
So my question is...
He just IMDb'd a random Steven Seagal movie.
Yeah, he just found something. Yeah. My question is, who is the most improved pro wrestler of all time, and is it the Big Show? Because go from like where... Because the Giant was so bad... They sent him back to developmental after debuting him.
I'm sorry,
and
but
I don't mean from like clearly everybody started off terrible. Like I'm not talking from when they started training to. I mean from actually being a character on TV, active competitor, starting off and being like, "Holy crap, what are you doing here?"
I'm going to answer your question, but first I have to point out. I just remember there was a reality show where Steven Seagal becomes
a bounty hunter.
He becomes a police officer in like a local town.
Was he a police officer or a bounty hunter?
I don't remember, but it was like ridiculous because it turns out he's not as tough in real life as he is in movies. Anyway,
let's find out.
Who's the most improved wrestler of all time?
Like, who do you think has, from the start of their career to even like now, if it's someone going now?
Trish Stratus.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because I remember when Trish Stratus started. I mean, when she started, she was just eye candy. Yeah. She literally was the manager of a group called TNA.
Tess and Albert.
Yeah, get it? TNA, because she has large breasts and they were always exposed. She also stripped down to her thong a lot. She barked like a dog. She did whatever needed to be done. As she said in one of my favorite quotes, I can either show a little ass or kick a little ass, depending on what they need me to do. But by the end of it, she went from being an awful manager that like was bad on a mic. I mean,
she had no charisma.
She had breasts.
It was weird.
That was it. She had breasts. That was it. But by the end of it, she is one of the most respected women's wrestlers of all time and really a big figure, in women's evolution of wrestling.
Yeah.
So for me, Trish Stratus will always be like the best come from behind story.
I also considered The Miz.
I considered The Miz too because he was also awful when he started.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
when he was the host of SmackDown.
Oh my God, it was bad. He had the mohawk. The faux hawk. I'm sorry, he didn't have a mohawk.
He kept that for a while, though. That was still in the dirt sheet days.
That was a bad look. Allie?
The first person that came to mind was The Miz.
It's a good choice. Because it's a solid choice.
But I would say that like both Trish Stratus and Big Show are better than, like, they both probably started at the same level, but as great as The Miz is, like, Trish is one of the best women's wrestlers of all time.
And like, don't get me wrong, I still don't think Big Show is a great wrestler.
Really?
Only because he's so big.
Yeah, but to say it's one of those things, like, and I'm not being mean towards The Big Show, like, he did well with what he had.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's probably like, what Brian Zane meant.
It's the whole thing of, tell me a truly great Big Show match.
I loved the one where it was him and Kane, and everyone just assumed it was going to be this giant hoss fight, but they like chain wrestled.
So yeah, so my answer was going to be Kane.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he started as an evil Christmas tree and an evil dentist. So
like his early stuff was not like as the Christmas creature and as Yankum and as Fake Diesel. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, all three that I just said aren't great characters to like be really put up against to be like a good like wrestler, quote unquote. Right. But it's one of those where he really wasn't like, if you go back and watch that versus anything that he did after that with Kane, it's night and day. So that was going to be mine. I was thinking Sting. Because like the Blade Runners and like the Dingo, like with Dingo Warrior and all that was stupid, and then he ended up
that's
being,
still a badass. Well,
I don't mean
name, though,
and I don't
Blade
mean like
Runners.
Character.
Like, no,
I
no,
just
no.
Mean,
like even like them as wrestlers, it was very generic. They're just muscle guys.
Okay.
And then like and then he went to the NWA and it's like Sting was like diving out of the ring and stuff and like doing like cross bites to the outside and stuff. Where it's like, oh, he's like really good. And then it like NWA with Ric Flair. Now we're in 1989, and then it's like, oh, well, he beat Flair for the title and all that, and it goes into WCW is one of the top guys, and he changed it to the Crow, and then like he was the reason Impact was viable for a while.
Yeah,
like it's one of those like I was gonna go with, and he was just a dumb muscle guy with Warrior, and their tag matches were garbage because he was with Warrior. But I think I'm gonna go with Kane. I think most improved of all time.
I don't remember. I just don't remember Kane being actively bad at any point. Like even
I don't remember
as
Sting being actively bad.
Even as Yankum, whereas like Big Show was like. Yeah, he was doing, like, he might be doing basic, like, big man stuff for the most part, but, like, you gotta remember, he wasn't even getting that right.
Oh, yeah.
Who started bad and stayed bad?
There's a lot Kali. Of people. About to say,
Giant Gonzalez. And that's another one where it's like, a lot of those guys only could do what they could do. Like, go back and watch an Andre the Giant match. He is revered as one of the greatest of all time. Not a great wrestler.
I don't think he is.
Maybe not as an in-ring competitor.
I think
the spectacle of Andre overshadows the in-ring ability.
He's remembered as a spectacle and as being like, and as being an attraction and being, you know, what he needed to be for a big man.
Right.
But I don't think anybody would make an argument that Andre was one of the greatest like technical wrestlers.
Also,
of all time.
Even Hogan was a half decent technical wrestler when he needed to be.
Well, yeah.
When he was in Japan.
And it's also super important to note, like, this is a good question, but it's also an unfair question because you're like, Big Show is an obvious right answer because it's also one of those in wrestling, if you're not good, you don't go – like, if you're not good, you don't go to a higher level hardly ever.
Like, if what do you mean by that?
Like, if you were not a good wrestler, like, if you cannot wrestle, there's only so much you can do.
Now, are you saying that they won't put you in a position to do more or that you yourself won't get better?
Either. Like, so it's one of those, like, you can be like, well, who was in a bad position and got good? Well, I'd be like Randy Orton, but he was always he always could wrestle.
Yeah.
It's one of those, like, if you're just talking about somebody that was just bad, if they didn't, like, Trish is also a really good answer, too. That one was one that I, like, when you said
I think it. Trish is the right answer.
I
really
think that's,
do.
I could absolutely see that.
Yeah, but she also had to learn to wrestle. Like, when she brought in, she wasn't wrestling.
Right, she was just a manager.
Yeah.
But, I mean, watch some of her early matches.
They're
she
bad.
She didn't have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Eva Marie could have been that had
she
picked it up.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, Eva Marie was awful. And then never got better. Like, it's one of those, like, people usually don't get better if they're on that big of a stage. Like, if you were an indie person, you have to get better because you're like, oh, I don't want to wrestle in Missouri anymore. I want to go wrestle in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to get better so I can prove, like, to them that I can go to their show and be fine. And then you get better that way. But if you just show up to WWE as a hot model and then they're like, oh, you're on TV time. Well, you've already reached the pinnacle of what WWE is going to offer you, which
Not just hot model, but also big guy.
And I don't even
big guy and hot model go together. Kozlov, what were you say earlier? Kali.
If you're
a big dude, generally they'll be like, oh,
yeah,
you're big.
They can do, and they will keep you. And like with Kali, they will keep you around forever.
And Big Show was the same way. When he started in WCW, they pushed him to the moon immediately because he was so big. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, he could do moonsaults and stuff like that. Big guys couldn't do that. But I don't think he ever got better. And like, a wrestling sense, but he got better in a
psychology sense.
See, but, yeah, but, I, also, but I think did, that counts because that was actually the point I was getting ready to make. Is you also have to look at like the psychology of his matches and the things that,
well, yeah,
like the things that he does, the way that he can sell for people when he's against someone a third his size,
yeah,
but make it believable. Like, not everybody. There are people at WWE right now and on AEW and on Ring of Honor and, you know, anywhere you go who don't know how to sell for someone the same size as them.
But I also think part of that is just getting comfortable. Like, it's less so that he trained to get better at it, and more that I truly believe there's something to say about you become more comfortable in the ring and suddenly you're not as nervous. You know what I mean? Once you get some exposure, personally, my favorite match that I, because I've only done three matches, four if you get technical, and I'm not good. I haven't trained well enough. But my favorite match, other than Dalton, because he was the one that taught me how to do it, was the one with Slammer, because I was so relaxed because there was no one there, mm-hmm, that I could just have fun and do what I wanted. And I feel like that was one of the better performances I ever did. So I think that show's kind of the same way. The more he got in there and the more confident he got, it's less that he got better and more that he just got comfortable enough to do what he already knew how to do. But maybe I'm wrong. I usually am. But the answer is Trish Stratus. Go on. I'll wait for a better answer.
Also, Mark Henry got real good.
Because Lita was, yep, already good.
But he also started. Like, he wasn't, I don't think he was like bad. He just,
no, he
was
never god awful. He wasn't god awful, though.
About to say, was go he? Back and watch early Mark Henry. It was not great.
I haven't seen much early Mark Henry.
Pre-sexual chocolate?
About to say, Nation into pre-sexual chocolate was all bad.
It's sexual, baby.
Like, his character work, it was the exact, like...
His character work also improved. Like, yeah, they gave him more stuff.
The Hall of Mark Henry, yeah, Mark Henry was always charismatic. Like, he always, like, he could sell you what he was doing.
He was sexual chocolate.
But, like, his in-ring stuff was...
And I know it sounds like I'm joking by keep bringing up sexual chocolate. I'm dead serious. He took a gimmick called sexual chocolate and made it fun.
Mm-hmm.
He was insatiable. He needed sex all the time. He was kind of like the Rusev of the time period.
But, like, it's...
But it was his Hall of Pain run when he got the dreads, and he was like legitimately like, mm-hmm, you don't mess with that guy.
And then, yeah, his fake retirement.
Oh, with the salmon covered.
The
suit.
Salmon suit.
I mean, not salmon.
It wasn't
covered.
Salmon covered.
Colored, not covered. He was trying to get a bear. So he covered himself in it. Allie, think of a better answer than Trish Stratus. I dare you. Vince McMahon.
He was still bad. No, he was always bad. Vince McMahon, it was only fun because he was such a good character, and you could tell that he didn't know how to use a work punch, so he just straight up punched people in the face.
And no one could say anything because he was their boss.
And then, like, the only thing they could do was punch him in the face back.
Yeah, but also, he would also take a beating.
That's also why Vince McMahon matches are so good, because he did not give... That's the one thing, that is somebody that's always committed, yeah, to, like, their matches. They're like, well, I can't throw a work punch like my son. As in, not he doesn't throw a good punch, like, neither of us can do it. So I'm going to do the exact opposite of what Shane does. I'm just going to punch a motherfucker in the face. And then, like, yeah, they may do it back, but, like, it's fine.
It's good shit.
Yeah, like...
It's good shit, pal.
I dare you to find me a not fun Vince McMahon match.
You can't.
They are
you really
all
can't.
Fun.
Yeah.
The cage match with Austin was great. The Hell in the Cell match with DX whenever they team with Big Show. Like, yeah, that was cringy. But, man, McMahon went for it.
I can think of one.
What?
First off, I want to pre-say this, but, like, one of the things Vince does well is he does WrestleMania matches against opponents that you wouldn't expect a good match to come from. He did the one against Shane, which was great. He did the one against Hogan, which was great.
If it wasn't for the fact that WrestleMania, like, that was 19, that only, like, one match was bad, and it was because it was the gimmick in-bed match with the Catfight Girls, yeah, and Tori and Stacey.
The Miller Lite Girls.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, I can't think of a bad match on that card.
Yeah.
That's why it isn't as... If that would have been put at, like, WrestleMania... Actually, no, all the WrestleManias then were good, but, like, that should have been a way higher match.
Right.
And it wasn't, but it's just because, like, you had Lesnar, Angle, and all the other ones.
But the worst Vince McMahon match ever.
No. I don't... A bad one.
Okay, a bad match. And I truly remember it being a bad match. Him versus Bret Hart.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
It was legitimately bad because they relied too much on the Hart family gimmick where everyone
was... Well, it's because Bret couldn't wrestle.
Bret couldn't go.
Yeah.
But they wanted to do the story anyway.
In a world where the match sucked because a Hart couldn't work.
Against the McMahon.
McMahon, yeah.
I think we're going to end it on that. Asa, take us out, buddy.
I genuinely want to know, if you're still listening to this, who do you think is the most improved
Yeah, and I agree with him because I truly stand by Trish Stratus.
No, Trish Stratus is an amazing
And I want
answer.
Someone to prove me wrong. Like because there's a guy out there with enough wrestling knowledge that can name a name and we'll go, oh, why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, but you know, Trish is a great answer. And I didn't realize how much you guys did not like Big Show.
No, I love Big Show. I love Big Show. But he doesn't like, he is a good character. He's like, there's not, I can remember Big Show being in matches. I cannot remember a great Big Show match.
I can remember Big Show getting so lost in the shuffle at one point that his gimmick was that he ripped off other gimmicks.
I can tell you that he had good feuds, but it's because that's good character work. I can't tell you a great Big Show
match. My favorite Big Show match legitimately was him versus Lesnar. Even though it really wasn't much of a match.
But which one?
The one where he got the shit kicked out of him with a chair.
Oh, is that like 2014, 2015?
I think so, because okay, it was so, brutal.
I thought you were talking about like 2003.
No.
Where he was wearing jeans because he was so out of shape.
No, it was him versus Lesnar, and I remember the chair was involved, and I just remember thinking, this is going to be a bad match. And then it wasn't a great match, but it was so entertaining and really violent. And I'm the kind of guy, my favorite wrestling is that really painful looking wrestling where it looks like a fight.
Ugh.
Jackson Crowley versus Otis Crowley scares the hell out of me. But every time they go in the ring, I'm like, yes, this is my favorite kind of wrestling. Because mm-hmm. they do some dives, but my God, they make that shit look painful.
Two quick Big Show facts. 2019 was the first year that Big Show did not have a match since 1993.
Wow. Shit.
Yeah. And also, now that he is easily a shoo-in for to win the Royal Rumble, like he's back, it's Rumble season. Who could possibly eliminate the Big Show?
Brock Lesnar.
Turns out, every Royal Rumble match that the Big Show has been in, he has never been part of a group elimination.
He has
always been eliminated by a single person.
That's Hell crazy. Yeah.
Like, I haven't verified that. Someone posted that on Reddit, and it had enough upvotes to be like,
I feel like there's a World War
III. Is that true? Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble match.
Okay.
Here's another Big Show fact. He was so out of shape, and they were so disappointed with him at one point that they pulled him from the game. And I think it was at No Mercy he wasn't in because they sent him back to development. It was so bad. His conditioning was so bad.
I don't think they said – no, because they only sent him to development once, and that was in 03, 04.
That was like when he debuted. He was on TV for like a week or two, and then they're like
– as the big nasty bastard, Paul White.
Mm-hmm.
Big nasty.
Bastard. Different.
Okay.
So, yeah. I don't know why I'm so weirdly defensive of the Big Show.
Yeah, it's not like he needs you to defend him.
Yeah, like he's doing
great. Remember when he murdered Kurt Angle?
But again, like I don't think you get a 27-year career from being okay.
Well, when you
when you're the size of the Big Show,
yeah,
you can.
Yeah, about to say.
Kali is revered in India.
We just talked about
in India.
We just talked about Andre, where it's like
I would say that Big Show is better than Andre.
Oh, by far. No. By far. Big Show can at least move. I've seen Andre the Giant matches. He loves.
Oh, yeah. He never did top rope drop kicks or anything.
He never did drop kick. He never drop. He dropped one time on WrestleMania to Hogan, and that was the biggest thing ever. That's an iconic moment.
But the plugs.
Yeah.
But
Sarge likes plugs.
Facebook.com/Podzilla1985, Twitter.com/Podzilla1985, and then of course Patreon.com/Podzilla1985. $1 gets you all of the pre-shows that we put out.
Help Ace to get a haircut.
It's not going to me. It doesn't go to that. Just give us the money. Fuck you.
Oh, can we please make that the Podzilla tagline?
Just give us the money.
Fuck you.